Yo, what up? It's your boy D Knight, and you're listening to the Pardon the Insurrection podcast. My oh my, what a week it has been. What a forking week. Fork me. Hope all of my DEIs out there is doing great. Hope you had a fantastic trans visibility day, as the right is quite so upset about, as though that somehow replaced Easter or something. I don't know. These people probably weren't even in church to begin with. So the fact that they're like outraged over a day that's been on the calendar every year for over a decade is actually par for the course for their asinine behavior. But before we get to the news, let's give a quick shout out to our sponsor, Sheets and Giggles. The CEO, the man of the hour, Colin D. McIntosh, sent us some of the most soft and luxurious sheets you could possibly find on planet Earth. Sheets so wonderful that if you died and we laid you to rest and wrap you up in these sheets, that they are so refreshing and restorative that you might get up out of there in 3 days and be back like the man himself. Probably going to hell for that, but as long as you buy some sheets from Sheets and Giggles, at least I will have done my good deed, and maybe I can make my way into heaven for that. But we're going to take a peek back at like what kind of week, or a little over a week, it's been for the Republican Party. It's just been one of those you can't even stress enough how fucking insane it's been until you hear it for yourselves. It's the worst reality TV show in the history of TV, as well as probably the worst political party since the advent of TV. So Trump finally caught that break in the appeals court in New York last week, where he had his bond reduced in a civil fraud trial from over $464 million to a measly mere $175 million. That's quite a discount he got there. And the court also stayed a number of aspects from the judgment as well, including extending the deadline for him to pay by 10 days. That was practically a week ago. I'm recording this on Sunday. You'll probably be listening to this on Monday, so it will have been a week by then. And also, the court did decide to leave Barbara Jones, the court-appointed monitor, in place, along with the compliance officer. And that right there is an indicator that even though the appeals court might be handing Trump a rather large victory, nearly $300 million victory, the fact that they left Barbara Jones in place along with the compliance officer, that is an indicator that they don't trust that man. And why would they, right? You know, it's not like he's ever broken the law before. It's not like he's under indictment for nearly 90 criminal counts in multiple jurisdictions. And this is just a civil fraud case. But, you know, of course, they gave him a discount because they have absolutely no reason to believe he wouldn't eventually pay up, right? He has plenty of money, doesn't he? Especially considering his newly minted multi-billionaire status, the successful launch of his website, his little bitty website with like 500,000 people on it, at a whopping $8-9 billion evaluation. That number keeps fluctuating because the stock price is unstable, because I think we're already in the dump phase of the Trump and dump scheme. But yeah, that netted him single digit billions of dollars in net worth. A totally legitimate business venture, considering its revenue is somewhere around $3 million per year. You know, three and a half, maybe $4 million. And, you know, over the course of its life, it's made a whopping total of negative $55 million. So totally on the up and up. That evaluation is totally accurate and in line with the amount of revenue that it's bringing in and the size of its audience. It makes total sense. Oh, and the price, it's being inflated by a billionaire TikTok investor who has an interest in TikTok not being banned, which Trump was all for until them dudes hung out a few weeks ago. Trump was like ready to sign the TikTok ban when he was in office. And then suddenly, when he's in financial dire straits, a dude shows up with an interest in making sure that doesn't happen to TikTok and is willing to take, you know, a handful of, well, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars and pump it into a stock to make sure that price stays high, helping Trump out with this evaluation. But I'm sure, just give it some time. Like, there's no way this thing is sustainable, especially now that it's publicly traded. But now that it is officially public, I do suggest that you all go take a trip to their Sarasota, Florida headquarters, where you will find all the hallmarks of a multi-billion dollar tech company, like empty offices and no employees whatsoever. Has to be totally on the up and up there. And because of his newfound wealth, he no longer needs to sell his $400 golden air fraud ones. And that is why he has since announced that he will be selling instead $60 American flag Constitution Bibles with gold, wrapped in gold trim, because apparently Jesus was the greatest American. Or maybe this is a way for churches to circumvent laws preventing them from sending donations to a political candidate. Maybe. But nah, that couldn't possibly be it, because surely Trump doesn't have any money problems, right? And one would imagine with his new fundraising agreement with the RNC, where he gets most of their donations up front in this new form of trickle-down economics that I'm sure Republicans will be excited for come election day, they must be flush with cash, right? Well, other than the part where the RNC, they enter the month with less cash than, get this, and you'll never guess who the RNC had less money than when the month started. Take a guess. Take a wild shot in the dark. That's right, Nikki fucking Haley. That is Nikki with 3 K's, who is no longer even a presidential candidate. That's right, Nikki Haley, who ain't even running for office, got more money than the RNC. So it's a perfect time for them to be dumping their money into Trump's coffers. And speaking of money problems, Mike Lindell, the pillow guy, you know, who is most famous for trying to aid Trump and attempting to smother our democracy to death. Not only is he being evicted from his MyPillow warehouse because he's like over $200,000 behind in paying up his rent, he also owes Fox News more than $8 million in unpaid ad fees. I can only imagine how disappointed and downtrodden Fox and their audience must be at the idea that they ain't gonna get to see no more MyPillow ads on their network. Must be heartbroken. Oh, not to mention, Mike Lindell's lawyer, he also dropped Mike Lindell as a client over unpaid millions of dollars in legal fees. And of course, if there's anyone who knows about unpaid legal fees, it is none other than Rudy Giuliani, who was being forced to sell his $3.5 million Florida condo by his creditors in a bankruptcy suit with your girls from the elections down there in Georgia. They hit him up for that $175 million, and then he had to claim bankruptcy, and now everybody trying to get Rudy Giuliani to liquidate some of his assets to come up with them dollars that they need. Yeah, so maybe if only Trump had like paid Giuliani for even a tad bit of the work he did to try and overthrow the election, maybe he would be in better shape. But, you know, I'm sure all of Trump's other lawyers are doing well. Like Alina Haba, for instance, who at this point is single-handedly responsible for like the $500 million of judgments against Trump in all of these civil cases. Yeah, you know, it's like she's doing a fantastic bang-up job there in New York, handling the E. Jean Carroll suit and the civil fraud suit. It appears that she has left herself open to a lawsuit herself for an illegal hush money scheme weeks before Trump is set to go on trial for an illegal hush money scheme. It's fucking unbelievable. Like, the level of symmetry here, it's absolutely fucking bananas. But, you know, this is like an indicator that Alina Haba, in all likelihood, attended Trump Law School. And I imagine that is how she ended up representing parking garages. But at least she hadn't been arrested. Unlike super pro-Trump lawyer Stephanie Lambert, who sued to overturn the 2020 election in Michigan, she got arrested for failing to appear in a Michigan case for illegally accessing voting machines in order to presumably prove that the 2020 election was rigged. Funny enough, she was arrested in D.C. in court. Because, you know, once you crime for Trump, you can't stay out of court. But yeah, she was arrested in court where she was appearing as part of a different lawsuit from Dominion Voting Systems for leaking their confidential internal emails that she got during discovery. These Trump branded attorneys are having a hell of a run here. Like Evan Corcoran, for instance, y'all remember him from Florida from the documents case. He got crime fraud accepted, and now he's a witness against Trump, which is a common theme. It's a regular occurrence. Trump's lawyers turning witness against him in court because, well, obviously they can't stop committing crimes. And then, like, once you're working for Trump, he forces you or manipulates you in some way to be a part of some of his more cockamamie schemes. John Eastman, for instance, he had been recommended for disbarment the other day by a judge in California for his role in attempting to help Trump steal the 2020 election after he lost. Michael Cohen, of course, I'm sure everybody's familiar with him at this point. You know, he's the one who already went to jail for the shit that Trump is about to go on trial for here starting on April 15th, or at least that's when the jury selection begins. So he's got some familiarity with not only going to jail for Trump, but like the lengths you must go to as Trump's attorney to engage in these crimes. And also, again, the fact that he's been to jail, that bodes well for the possibility of a conviction for Trump. Obviously, I don't think he's going to go to jail in the hush money election interference case, but he's going to have that felony on his record. Yes, sir, Bob. And that's not going to make him more popular with the voters. You know, there's just a number of Nikki Haley voters out there who's like, oh, once he gets that felony, we out of here. Also, another example of Trump branded lawyers having a fucking blast out here. Jeffrey Insurrection Act will call you when there's an oil spill. Clark, that guy, you might remember him from his attempt to try and take over the attorney general spot after the election so he could help Trump launder these lies and announce investigations into state elections so they could try and rig this shit with the fake elector plot. Yeah, that guy. So he just had his disbarment hearing on the East Coast here recently, and he pleaded the fifth like 11,780 times. It was a whole lot. Like, and you know, of course, Trump told us that only criminals plead the fifth. Well, if that is accurate and the level of criminality is commensurate with the number of times that you plead the fifth, then Jeffrey Clark is one of the biggest criminals on planet Earth in history, because he couldn't stop pleading the fifth and claiming a number of other insane privileges, like attorney-client privilege and executive privilege and all this. It was just wild. I don't even know if he answered the question, what is your name? That's how many times your boy was in there pleading the fifth, but he came out looking guilty as fuck. And we also got one little tidbit of information confirmed that we'd all speculated about, thanks to some call records at the time suggesting that he had been appointed attorney general, or at least acting attorney general. Well, it turns out he confirmed that he was, in fact, temporarily appointed attorney general, even though everybody in DOJ said that they was going to resign. But apparently, it somewhere along the line, over the course of the next 24 hours or even less, Trump was like, oh no, I rescind that. I don't even know how you can rescind that. Like, if you fire the attorney general and you put another dude in the job, can you just like, I didn't know there was takesies backsies for that. I didn't know you could renege on that. Like, don't you have to put in some paperwork or notify some people or something that's got to go on the record? And then you like, nah, I changed my mind, I'm going to get this other dude a job back. Can you just swap out attorney generals at your leisure? I don't feel like that's the way that process is supposed to work. But who the fuck knows, given the way the dysfunctional nature of the Trump administration, like, who knows? But yeah, Jeffrey Clark, that guy, he had a rough week. You might also be more familiar with his work from when the feds raided his house and they left his ass standing out there in the street in his underwear. That was quite a moment. Sorry for the mental imagery I apologize. But yeah, given the fact that he was stuck out there in his underwear like that, he may want to stay away from Matt Schlapp. That's the former CPAC chair, the one who got accused by one of the Republican operatives who claimed, you know, he was trying to sex him up and he fondling his, well, you know, that guy. So Matt Schlapp here claimed vindication earlier this week when that sexual assault lawsuit against him was dropped. But apparently, as it turns out, that was thanks to a $480,000 settlement. Yeah, so no complete and total exoneration there. You just cut dude a check. And it wasn't even Schlapp that cut him a check. It was the insurance company. Like, I didn't even know you could get insurance for that. Like, grabbing them by the dick insurance. I didn't know that existed. But, you know, apparently Republicans, they think of everything. I don't know. How do they come up with this shit? I'd also like to highlight the slight disparity, ever so slight disparity, between the cost of grabbing somebody by the dick being like $500,000 and then $100 million for Trump grabbing E. Jean Carroll by, well, never mind. You know where I was going with that. But Republicans have clearly grabbed the 2024 election by the balls, one would think, except House Republicans keep retiring months before the election. That doesn't bode well. So with Ken Buck and Mike Gallagher announcing their exit, that'll leave the Republicans with practically no margin for error when they trying to pass a bill, or at least one that they actually want to pass. The Democrats don't. It's not going to make it easy for them. And it definitely leaves them with absolutely no margin for more retirements, or they could potentially end up losing the House to Democrats before we even get to the election, resulting in the first black speaker of the House, Mr. Hakeem Jeffries. I said, like, upon his coronation as speaker of the House, we got to treat him like he's Prince Hakeem from Coming to America. Go ahead and throw some flowers at that man's feet. But yeah, given the state of affairs with this ever-decreasing margin for Republicans in the House, that's why it is a perfect time for Marjorie Greene to bring a motion to vacate her own Speaker of the House, because it only took like 11 votes to confirm a Speaker the last time they ejected a guy, and they had a much larger majority then, so what could possibly go wrong? What could go wrong? Again, it's not like they're in danger of losing the House before they even get to the election or anything like that. But if there is one place where they all banded together, it's the RNC coming out to support they girl, pro-insurrectionist and fake elector co-conspirator Ronna Romney, right after she was fired unceremoniously from MSNBC, right after she was hired. Right after she was fired from the RNC. That's right, folks. The RNC got rid of her ass. But the second MSNBC gets her up out of the paint, oh, they throw a fit. Like, how could you dare treat Ronna McDaniel like this? I mean, I guess, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure after she was the other man's trash. I don't really know how that analogy is supposed to work in this case, but you kind of get the idea. You know what it is that I was trying to get to. But the way I feel about it is, firing Ronna McDaniel, that is the kind of political both sides-ism that I personally support. But you know where there is no both sides? That would be the House of Representatives, where one party got to have a majority and it can't be split 50-50. And the odds of Republicans keeping the House in November are not looking very great, right after this special election in Alabama, where Marilyn Lands, the Democrat, won by a landslide, flipping a Republican seat and winning by 25 points, guys, 25 points, by running on access to abortion and access to IVF, even though the polls had her losing by a large margin. And that's super red Alabama. Like, again, somebody might want to go check these polls in these swing states, because if somebody is getting, you know, it's like a Democrat's blowing out a Republican in Alabama in a special election, maybe some of these polls in these states are also inaccurate. I just, you know, keep that in mind, perhaps. But with Republicans losing to abortion in Alabama, maybe it is time that they abort their plans to win in November, whatever those plans may be. Considering that is just one instance in a long line of choking in these special elections. And with no one in history being gagged more than Trump, it is no surprise that he has decided to continually violate his newly issued gag order already, because he couldn't wait to attack the judge's daughter in the New York case over some postings from a Twitter account that didn't actually belong to the judge's daughter. So just out here doing insane, crazy shit to rile up this judge to lay the hammer down over a Twitter account that ain't actually real. It just, my God, man, absolutely bananas. So with that kind of behavior, he is definitely soon to follow in the footsteps of Sam Bankman-Fried, who just got fried in Manhattan, where that judge handed down a 25-year sentence for committing Trump levels of fraud. But not just Trump levels of like Trump levels of fraud on steroids. Is I'm sure you're all familiar with his multi-billion dollar scheme to steal from his crypto company. But yeah, that result was predicted by nearly everyone except for Elon Musk, who for some reason said that because Sam Bankman-Fried donated to Democrats, there wasn't going to be an investigation. And then he was arrested summarily after, and then went on trial and now has been sentenced. It's like, it wasn't a tough one to figure out. Everyone knew that was coming, but Elon. But what Republicans focused on blaming, they out here blaming like collapsing bridges on DEI and, you know, obviously a bridge built during the notoriously woke Nixon administration. Like, of course, DEI is responsible for that. And they're trying to deport Gonzaga's basketball team for trying to get to the NCAA tournament. Like, I know you're like, damn, that was a lot of stuff, dog. What was the through line? Like, how do all these points connect? Like, paint the picture for me. Well, I'm going to. The common theme here is this is fucking insane. We ain't never seen no shit like this. Like a political party engaged in these types of asinine endeavors, not over the course of an administration or even an election year, but over the course of a fucking 10-day period. Like, this is absolute bonkers. Like, total chaos. Complete, total, utter chaos. And if you compare that to President Biden, who just raised a record $25 million in a single night, hanging out with his predecessors, Barry O, and you know, the other dude that we really don't even be talking about that much, because you know how he get down. We don't kicks it with him. I like his wife, though. But the fact that Biden is bringing in $25 million in a night, and the GOP is engaged in this utter fucking insanity. It looks like the GOP took March Madness a little too fucking literally. And I know all of y'all listening out there are probably concerned about what the potential odds are for Republicans winning in November and ending our democracy if Trump somehow gets back in office. And I totally get that. But if you just look at the state of affairs, I will put my money on the Democrats if I was a better man, like Shohei Ohtani's interpreter. And that concludes this episode of Pardon the Insurrection.